What was he missing? Spell efficiency. Mana manipulation and coalescence together added 17% efficiency. The mana cost had dropped to 1577. If he had used the potions himself, he wouldn't even have needed to use all three. Why did he keep forgetting to account for spell efficiency? He almost screamed aloud about the wasted resources. Notifications interrupted his fury. Skill increase. Mana manipulation. Beginner 5. Congratulations. The forced draining and refilling of your mana has torn open pathways that should have been given weeks to open safely. For reaching the beginner ranks of this skill, an additional effect has been generated based on your usage of the skill to this point. Effect. Add 10% stability to magic that costs more than 30% of your total mana pool to activate. Since I'm sure you don't understand, thanks to your non-existent magical education, spell stability is the statistic that determines how easy it is to keep your mana in the proper channels. Tearing apart your body for greater power is definitely the way to go. Go you. Intelligence plus 2. Wisdom plus 3. Constitution minus 1. Joe began to wheeze as his body deflated. His constitution had dropped below 10 again, and flesh began to drip off of his body like wax from a melting candle. As it touched the ground, it vaporized into sparkling light. Soon he was again looking down at a wasted form, and standing upright became difficult. A bit hunched over, Joe retrieved his scepter. There was no noticeable effect on it from the ritual's activation. In fact, the tag lock seemed almost unnaturally still. Putting it into his storage ring, he shuffled over to Cell and slapped him. 0 damage. Joe growled at the reaffirmation of his destroyed physical stats. He tried again with the same message appearing. A kick. The same. Finally, he just reached into his ring and pulled out a bit of rotten-smelling intestinal meat. Holding that under Cell's nose, he waited as the man began to twitch and groan.
"What happened?"
Cell mumbled, holding his head. He looked at his now wet hand. It had come away covered in blood.
"What happened is that you almost killed yourself because you cannot seem to believe that someone else knows better!"
Joe barked at him. His voice sounded rough and dry.
"What are you?"
Cell looked into Joe's skeletal face and backed away in horror.
"I'm a guy that accidentally tore open his mana channels and had his constitution dropped below 10 points.
Joe glared at Cell as he turned white. The young mage seemed ready to puke.
"Disgusting! I can't believe that could happen."
His eyes were wide and appalled.
"Now it makes sense why we need to keep our mana pool so high."
Joe spat to the side.
"There is a terrible bias against taking risks. The rewards can be great. We are always told to play it safe so that everyone else can optimize covering their own butt. The price for me might seem high, but I only lost 1 point of constitution while gaining 2 points of intelligence and 3 of wisdom. Not to mention 10% spell stability." "What?"
Cell gasped in shock.
"Impossible! All you get for overloading your mana channels is a step into your grave. Everyone knows that..."
"Hold up." Joe put his hand in front of Cell's face. "This everyone you speak of, they wouldn't happen to be the same everyone that are forcing us into signing away our freedom in a few hours? The same people that have lied to you your entire career as a mage?" Cell had no way to respond to that. "I'm betting that there is a whole bunch of information you are missing or have been lied to about. Get ready to go. We don't have long until the mages show up." Joe walked over to the ritual-containing Cell, reaching out with his mind and deactivating its effects. Cell had no idea it was off, of course, and simply stood there looking troubled. "Ritual is off. Let's get going. We can wait outside." They moved to the entrance, and after stepping into the open, Joe locked the door and turned around. Five mages, as well as several guards and crossbowmen, stood waiting for them. A mage coughed delicately, then arched a brow.
"Going somewhere?"
Joe nodded, keeping his body as straight as possible.
"We are. You are the escort to the college?"
"Indeed."
The mage was in a strange purple robe.
"You are going to be silenced until you sign the accords. You will both be unable to cast spells or speak unless I or the Archmage ask you a direct question. Is that clear?"
Both Sel and Joe nodded grimly. The mage looked between them.
"Anything else to say before we go?"
"Moist ointment in rural pulp." Joe enunciated each word clearly. A few of the gathered people looked at him strangely, cringing a bit. The mage made a what-the-heck gesture, making Joe shrug.
"I just didn't want to be the only one feeling uncomfortable."
"Goal achieved, you weirdo. Silence."
Joe's throat seemed to fill with phlegm, forcing him to cough wetly. He tried to speak, but as expected, he was unable to. He tried to gather the shadows into a spike, but they ignored his will. He tried to use a healing spell, and to everyone's surprise, a ball of water splashed into the mage's shocked face.
"How did—"
The mage yowled like a wet cat, stopping as he realized that he felt pretty good.
"Healing spell?
Non-arcane. Yes. You did claim to be a cleric, didn't you? Divine magic is unimpeded. I'll have to update the Magical Fair Usage Committee."
Joe snorted at that comment, and the mage seemed to remember he existed.
"Ah, that's right. You two are going for a double signing today, aren't you? This young, of course you don't think the Accords are designed for fair usage. Back before the Accords, mages could freely experiment and shape their powers in non-recommended ways. Some mages of the same generation were able to outclass their peers, becoming far more powerful than the others. They could sometimes even specialize into non-mage classes. Imagine a mage turning into an arcane druid. Well, that doesn't happen anymore. Now the Accords ensure that the entire generation moves at the same pace, and specializations are chosen for each mage via committee approval. All is fair."
Joe wanted to speak up. Really wanted to explain how this man must be a weak idiot if he thought this was a good system.
Sadly,
the spell of silence was still in effect. Equality of outcome was tyrannical. Forcing people into specializations for the good of the college? Making the strong or gifted wait for what must be decades to better themselves while the others caught up? If he had any doubt that the Archmage was a dictator in his own right, this proved the point perfectly. The mage spoke the entire time they were walking toward the college, waxing eloquent about the college and the good it did for the kingdom. How they would be bettering themselves by signing. Joe rolled his eyes so many times that he was surprised he didn't get dizzy. Several times during the walk, people approached to see what was going on. Each time, the guards around the small group drew weapons, and their path was instantly cleared. They had gone farther east in the city than Joe had ever ventured before, and it seemed they were moving toward a looming tower. The tower was about half the width of the royal palace, perfectly circular, and about 50 feet tall. Its color was hard to pinpoint, because it changed every minute or so. The mage escorting them chuckled as he saw the confusion on Joe's face.
"You've never seen this?
This is quite a fun explanation. It's a game. Each class of magic wants to be the one representing the college. The entire tower will change color to match whatever type of spell is used on it most recently. So, see there?
Purple.
My students must have joined in the fun."
Chapter 36. The group walked through the defensive wall which encircled the tower, and the entirety of the building was revealed. Beyond towering above them, the college was incredibly boring. No plants could be seen, no art, and the only form of self-expression seemed to be limited to painting the tower with a spell every once in a while. Since it had first turned purple, the tower had briefly flicked to blue before becoming purple again. Now Joe could see why. A fireball appeared in the hand of a laughing mage in red robes, but before it left his hand, a purple-robed mage pointed at him, and the fireball vanished.
"The School of Silence dominates this game," their escort smugly told them. "Cell knows how it is. Really hard for any other school to impede the others without damage. It is also good for the other mages to learn from a young age that they can't defeat our policing forces."
Joe and Cell locked eyes, and Cell seemed to be exasperated. It seemed even this game was rigged. Their escort's voice suddenly rang through the area.
"Good morning, students! There will be an assembly today for the promotion of Apprentice Fire Magic Cell! Today will be his second signing of the Accords, and he will step into his position as a journeyman mage. Be there at noon for the ceremony."
Cheers rang through the yard as dozens of people yelled out their support for the captured young man. Tears filled his eyes, mistaken by the others as pride or some other emotion of jubilation. Their escort leaned in, whispering to Joe.
"Of course, before the promotion, we will be having a trial. When you are found guilty of conspiring against us, I'll make sure that you specialize into something extra special. Maybe your class ability will be to clean toilets extra easily."
Joe and Cell were both shocked at this. Why were they surprised, though? He had just told them that the colleague chose how their members ranked up. They were led into the tower and walked along oddly stunted and winding corridors. Stepping through a door, Joe saw the most bizarre room he had ever laid eyes on. The room was a spherical shape with the bottom half covered in benches for spectators. The room was far too massive to fit into the building and must have been given extra area with the assistance of spatial magics. Another series of what appeared to be more comfortable seats could be seen on a platform in the middle of the room, one of the chairs larger and grander than the other. It could even be considered a throne. All of these details were secondary to the centerpiece of the room. A gigantic glass tube extended from both the ceiling and floor, shrinking down and becoming narrow like an hourglass in the center. Where the glass would have met, a book was suspended in midair. Though airborne, it may as well have been concrete on the ground for how much it moved. Colored lights moved through the tubes, condensing into tiny beams of energy that shot into and were apparently absorbed by the book. Mana? How much power was required for the Accords that such a grand mana collecting and focusing step was needed? The only reasonable explanation was that the contract used mana constantly to control the people who had signed it.
"About time. The rogue mage and his captured pet have finally arrived."
A terribly obese man stood from the grandiose chair on the platform, raising his jiggling arms to the side so that his multicolored robes flared out and slowly settled around him.
"I will leave it to the council to decide their fate."
He sat back down with a great sigh. After such an ostentatious display to grab their attention, Joe was a bit annoyed that the Archmage hadn't said anything else.
"Their cases have already been discussed."
Another mage, this one's robes a deep blue, stood and spoke.
"In the case of Apprentice Cell versus the college, he has been found not guilty. He was captured and tortured. According to mana devoted to the Accords, only recently has he been slipping from his dedicated path. After a period of re-education yet to be determined, and with a second signing of the Accords today, Cell will be moved to the journeyman rankings and gain a specialization befitting his new status."
The mage who had escorted them in seemed like he was about to say something. His face turned red, and he appeared furious. The blue-robed counselor ended his speech by glaring at him darkly, and no other words were spoken. The Archmage tapped his chin, pretending to think on the matter.
"I find this acceptable. though there will need to be punishment. He did slip from his teachings under torture, and it took less than 3 days for him to have a decade of dedication fail him. During his re-education, Cell will spend 8 hours a day devoting his mana to the Accords. This will last no less than one full month. If he doesn't die or go insane from the strain, he will be welcomed back as a full member of the college.
A few quiet gasps could be heard from the chairs around the Archmage, and their escort seemed greatly pleased, even going so far as to smirk at the mage on the council. Joe looked at Cell, noting how pale he had become. Obviously, this was a terrible punishment, but he had no point of reference for just how bad it would be. When another council mage stood, Joe gulped as his eyes were met.
"In the case of Joe versus the college," the mage snorted derisively, "we find him guilty of attacking the college, torture of a member, and practicing magic without a license. As punishment, we recommend no less than 6 months devoting his mana to the Accords for 12 hours a day. During this time, he will have someone reading him a copy of the Accords and extolling its virtues for 6 hours a day. We also recommend that at the end of this time frame, as he is a traveler, we send him to respawn until he reaches level 1. At that point, we will bind his mana pool so that he can never again cast arcane magics."
Joe would have fallen to his knees if he hadn't been roughly grabbed by a guard standing near him. All of that for holding a mage that was trying to kill him for, what, 2 days? The Archmage nodded along as his sentence was decided.
"That is lenient, but I expect nothing less from you. If it were possible, I'd say you've gone soft."
The Archmage's wheezing laugh echoed around the otherwise silent room. Only now was it apparent how upset the other mages on the platform looked. A few squirmed, but the light around the Accords dimmed a bit, and they became still.
"You, boy, will serve as an example for the college. It has been quite a few years since someone dared test us. Now we will once again teach the kingdom why it is the last thing they ever want to do."
His cruel piggy eyes were on Joe as he spoke.
"That said, at the end of this process, you will likely have raised your stolen skill of mana manipulation to great heights. You will make a decent healer at that point, able to continuously heal for days at a time. When you are finished with your punishment, you will go serve the kingdom as a healer until you have earned enough to repay us for those skills. We'll say 10,000 gold total. It should only take you a decade or so. How does that sound?"
"You have been offered a quest, punishment for your crimes. Serve your sentence with the Mage's College by spending 12 hours a day for 6 months refilling the mana of the Accords, and pay 10,000 gold to the college. This quest is mandatory if you have signed the Accords, as it has been offered by the Archmage. Rewards: you will not be hunted by the college. Failure: you will be hunted by the college. Accept? Yes or no?" Not a chance. Joe declined the quest so quickly that he was able to see the tiny smirk that fluttered across the Archmage's face.
"Oh, not accepting willingly, I thought that you had learned your lesson. Don't worry, we will adjust the quest accordingly once you have signed the Accords."
Joe wanted to spit when he heard that terrible attempt at a pun. You can't just say the same thing twice and call it a joke.
"Well, we have a few hours until noon. Why don't we get started charging the Accords while we wait? Cell, this will count toward your punishment. Joe, not so much.
The piggy eyes were mirthful as the captured men were frog-marched to the glass tubing on the dais. Their wrists were gripped and their hands shoved against the glowing surface. A seizure rocked them, and their muscles locked as if they had grabbed an electric wire. Mana instantly began to be torn out of their quaking bodies. The power draw wasn't at all like using a ritual. For some reason, it felt like this process was designed to be painful. Joe bent his mind to manipulating the mana and keeping it contained within his channels. Though an imperfect solution, the pain dropped to a dull roar. His channels had been shaped to handle large quantities of mana moving through him at once, and he was using this fact to lessen the pain inflicted on him. Cell was having far more issues, and he cried out every few seconds as his mana ran out and tried to regenerate. Joe lasted twice as long as Cell, but his mana also ran dry. He still couldn't pull his hands away from the tube, but each time mana appeared in his body, the painful shock came again. This was an extraordinarily efficient form of torture, as it didn't directly harm the body, but Joe was determined not to be a victim. He turned his mind inward, and with each suctioning current, he did his best to use his mana channels as if this act was second nature. An hour passed, and yet there was no end in sight. They had been escorted here at the crack of dawn, and were not going to be signing the accords until noon. Another hour of time slowly trickled by, and still, Joe refused to break. Shock after shock rocked his system. But at least now that his channels were custom-made for the Force, there was no pain from the mana being pulled from his body. Joe mentally checked the notifications waiting for him, and smiled as the updates took effect. "You have put your mind and body through a grueling training regimen. This has tested you in ways you have never been tested before, and the results are beginning to show. You can add 1 point to either Constitution or Wisdom. Please choose. Constitution. Wisdom." Joe added a point to his Constitution, almost managing to grin as he saw a few people become horrified as his body began to pull mana from the air around him in order to grow.
"What is happening? What did he just do?"
A panicked voice reached his ears.
"How is he drawing in mana while touching the tubing? Kill him!"
"Wait!"
a voice called sharply. Joe grimaced as the shock came again. He had been hoping they would send him to respawn so he could rally his guild to destroy this place.
"It looks like he spent a characteristic point to get above a 10-point threshold. No need for alarm. He was just trying to withstand the pain of the Accords."
"Huh. A useless gesture."
Joe ignored the seemingly satisfied Archmage as he kept going over the notifications. "Skill increased. Mana manipulation. Beginner 9. What are you doing to yourself? Total body torture to gain a few measly skill points. Now that is dedication. Skill increased. Channeling. Beginner 2. Congratulations, you have reached the beginner stages of channeling and have gained an extra effect based on your actions with channeling to this point. Extra effect, plus 5% spell stability when channeling mana." Not terrible gains for 2 hours of grueling pain. Joe would have preferred not to have been in this position, but was seriously considering doing this for a while just to get his mana manipulation to greater heights. He could always log out and let his avatar take the beating for him, but he wouldn't gain any skill levels that way. That was the big danger of being locked up for 6 months of real time. Joe wouldn't get any skills nor any playtime. He also couldn't delete his character and start a new one, since that would erase his mind entirely. An indefinite amount of time later, Joe heard the words that he had been yearning for since the start of this process.
"That's enough for now. The students will be joining us soon, and we should prepare for the ceremony."
Someone came over to the captives, grabbed their wrists, and yanked their hands off the tubes. Joe noticed that whoever it was kept their own hands covered with gloves just in case they bumped against the glass. Hardly able to remain on their feet, Joe and Cell were brushed off by one of their escorts, obviously an attempt to mask the torture they had just gone through. Their clothes were covered with opulent robes, and someone roughly scrubbed their faces with a damp rag. Apparently looking as good as they were going to, they were marched in front of the Archmage's throne and forced to kneel. Cell was moving easily, and with relief, but Joe's muscles were locked and tense. He was not looking forward to this. Students began pouring into the seating area, chatting amicably and separating themselves by the color of their robes. The noise steadily grew, but it seemed there were only about 300 total mages joining to watch what they thought of as a joyous spectacle. When everyone had found a seat, they waited to actually sit down until the Archmage motioned for them to do so. Joe's eyes widened. Never had he imagined that the Archmage had such control over the magically inclined. Stealing a glance around, he saw that the counselor's eyes were all deadened, and they were watching the proceedings helplessly.
"Today,"
the Archmage struggled to his feet, hiding his lack of physical fitness by flourishing his robes.
"We have gathered to observe a special event. Many of you know your young brother, Apprentice Fire Mage Cell."
The gathering crowd began cheering, calming down after a long moment as the Archmage waved his hands.
"What many of you do not know is that a few days ago, he was captured by a rogue mage."
The gasping drowned out the applause instantly.
"While this young man was captured, he remained strong. He fought valiantly against his captor and learned many very important lessons."
His eyes glinted with mirth as the assembled people cheered. They couldn't know that the lessons he had learned is one that they would all eventually learn as well.
"For his strength and mental fortitude, today he will be promoted to the rank of Journeyman Mage, and the council will decide upon his first specialization."
The silence lasted a second longer, but then the people seemed to explode into wild cheering and clapping. A tear trickled from Cell's eye, but any who saw the shining liquid only thought that he had been overcome with joy and was attempting to remain stoic. They respected him all the more for it.
"Apprentice Cell, you may approach and sign the Accords."
Joe had to hand it to the guy. He knew how to work an audience. Cell got to his feet and marched toward the Accords robotically. He was obviously under compulsion, but that wasn't noticeable from a distance. Joe had to wonder why the Archmage didn't simply order everyone to sign it 3 times. Did it require more mana to control the populace if they actively fought against it? That would make sense. Also, it was already using a huge amount of mana. Did the amount of times you sign it correlate to how much mana it allocated to control you? He had seen the entire construct dim when the gathered counselors had shifted around. Joe watched as Cell walked the last few feet and reached toward the utterly massive book that contained the Accords. The book opened, and pages flew by. It stopped, once again becoming as still as a predator awaiting prey. Cell's hand kept moving, and a beautiful quill that seemed to be made out of pure mana appeared in his hand. The last inch of his scrawled name was traversed, and Cell's name appeared in the Accords for the second time. The mana rushing through the glass seemed to become more agitated, and a small arc of power leapt from the Accords into Cell. He reacted as if he had been struck by lightning, his entire body stiffening as he gasped in pain. When he could move again, he turned around with a wide smile plastered across his face.
"Rejoin us! Journeyman Cell!"
The Archmage roared, the awestruck people taking his cue to begin celebrating for their newly promoted member. Cell bounded down the stairs, standing proudly in the spot he had vacated just moments before. Joe looked at him and was able to see that his wide eyes were horrified, not matching the rest of his expression at all. Joe nodded at his ex-captive as the Archmage began to speak once again.
"The other man up here is one that none of you recognize, for good reason. This man is the rogue mage who held Cell captive.
Your reputation with the Mage's College has suffered. Reputation has been reduced by 2,000. New status with the College. Hostile.
That's right!
The Archmage bellowed as the room broke into confused whispers.
This man broke our rules and needs to pay for his crimes. We have decided to be merciful, though.
Booing followed his words.
I know. I know. As much as we may want to execute him for his crimes, he is a traveler. A single death would be too simple for him. Not only that, but when he was discovered, he surrendered as soon as he was able. Of course, this was the only possible outcome. After all, our own Master of the Flame was sent to bring him in.
The red-robed mage on the dais with them stood and bowed. The Archmage nodded approvingly.
This man, known only as Joe, has sworn to follow our rules from this point forward. To that end, he will be signing the accords today. He will never again get the chance to hurt one of my precious students.
Mana must have been used to empower his words and the audience because the clapping and cheering could be considered sonic damage at this point. Joe, unlike Cell, was not allowed to freely walk to the Accords. He and two others climbed the stairs, but they stopped a few stairs from the top.
Now is the moment of truth,
the Archmage proclaimed as he watched Joe carefully.
Will this man prove himself a warlock? Or will he join the College as the lowest of the low, hoping against hope that he will one day deserve to join us properly?
Chapter 37. Taking a deep breath, Joe slowly walked the last few steps to the Accords. He reached a trembling hand toward the book, which burned black with falsifications in his occultist sight. The book began to shine with power and fell open. The pages blurred by, coming to rest at the next available open space. Joe's hand came closer, and a quill formed in his grasp. Before he touched the page, he opened his left hand and allowed his scepter to drop from his storage ring into his waiting palm.
Joe, what are you doing?
The Archmage boomed.
The Accords are protected by the entire College. Attacking them with a legendary weapon would do nothing. What are you going to do to them with a glorified stick? Remove his silence. Answer, boy!
Joe looked back as the spell of silence deactivated.
Obviously, I am going to do nothing to the Accords with my scepter.
He looked back to the Accords and allowed the quill to drift closer. Seeing this, the prepared spells targeted him were cancelled and the tension eased. Joe paused just before the quill touched the ancient paper, touching the book with his finger directly.
I really hope this counts. Activate ability from title Terms and Conditions.
His voice was harsh from the long hours of not speaking, but it was more than enough to activate the first title he had ever gained. Terms and Conditions, Single Use, Special Effect Activated. There will be no contract-based repercussions to destroying the targeted contract, though other parties may not be pleased with you. Usability on contract, the Accords. Yes, no.
What did he just say?
The Archmage struggled to his feet and was about to start climbing the stairs.
Silence him! Now!
Yes!
Joe shouted as he drove the taglock needle on his scepter into his leg. A red one floated up from him as a slew of messages began to appear. You have activated the special effect from the title Terms and Conditions. The mana contract, the Accords, will be destroyed in 5, 4. You have activated a new ritual, Stasis. This ritual makes the target unable to interact with anything, move, or perform any action. The target is still able to see and think. While this ritual is active, the target and anything they have equipped cannot be damaged, moved, or altered in any way. This ritual lasts for 5 minutes. Time remaining, 4 minutes, 58 seconds. Title gained, Warlock 1. You have broken your promise to the Master of Fire of the Mage's College. You had promised not to cause trouble. Talk to the wronged party, a magistrate, or the king to get this title removed. Subsequent increases in this title's ranking will have increasingly negative effects on you. Effect, Charisma, -1. +10% cost for all purchases at neutral or good-aligned shops. Skill increased. Ritual Magic, Apprentice 5. Testing new things on yourself is a surefire way to end up dead. Good thing you like risks. Let's see if this one pays off. The Archmage stopped, looking at Joe's unmoving form in confusion.
You attacked yourself? Why? What are you doing?
He pointed at Joe, creating a lightning bolt that slammed into the utterly still man. A perfect hit, and yet not a single aspect of Joe had changed. Even his clothes were undamaged. The bolt of power had just ended. As everyone looked on in wonder, with just a hint of confusion, Joe's titular effect came into play. The light around the Accords brightened as mana accumulated, and the sound of tearing paper shook the room. Without any further fancy effects, the Accords vanished with a small pop. The Archmage stumbled, staring in horror at the space the massive book used to occupy.
What? What have you done?
The cursed Accords are gone!
The Master of Fire spoke in a shocked tone. He seemed even more surprised that he had been able to speak.
We are free! Counselors, we are free!
Kill that swine!
The incredulous tone had turned murderous at the end.
Gone? How are you all not dead then?
The Archmage squealed as he noted dozens of hostile gazes centered on him. He erected a shield around himself just before multiple elemental spells slammed into the thin barrier of energy.
Students, help! They are attacking me!
Confusion among the students was the only reaction to his words. They all knew it was impossible to intentionally hurt one of the members of the college, especially the Archmage, so what was going on? In their confusion, no one moved to help either side. The Archmage was weathering the Council's attacks only due to the huge amount of power-enhancing and defensive enchantments that covered his corpulent body. Lightning struck, and strange shimmers in the air pulsed with dark intent. Fire devoured the air around the Archmage, leaving him gasping even though he was protected from direct damage. Slabs of tile lifted from the ground, superheating and flying at such speeds that they could be called a meteorite. One by one, the charms and mana-infused artifacts held by the Archmage began to break. His counterattacks were so weak that they couldn't even pierce the wall of power that the attacks against him created around his body. Instead, he began looking for a way to flee the battle. His protections would not last forever. In fact, they were already faltering, but it gave him time to retreat up the stairs to where Joe was frozen in place. Breathing heavily from climbing the stairs and fighting, the Archmage pulled an ornate dagger out of a satchel on his side and stabbed it at Joe's heart. The tip of the dagger stopped at the first clothing fiber it encountered, as if the Archmage had struck a wall of steel. Seeing that there was no effect, the Archmage instead ducked behind Joe and tried to use him as a shield. His plan was lacking, as it appeared the other mages had no qualms about blasting both of them into oblivion. In fact, it seemed that though the spells were becoming less flashy, they were becoming far more deadly.
A line of what could only be described as instant death drilled into his shield, only stopped due to the sheer complexity of enchantments the Archmage had been forcing others to create for him for centuries.
"You bastard! What did you do to my accords?"
The Archmage stood screaming and sobbing at Joe as the air sizzled with redirected and deflected spells.
"I will find some way to destroy you for this!"
A wave of magma settled on him and shattered the last of his passive defenses. The Archmage screamed as droplets of molten stone splattered across his face.
"Wait! Wait! Wait! Please stop! I surrender! I surrender!"
He managed to save himself by raising a weak shield with his own power, obviously unused to the requirements of using his own magic for any length of time. This was a man who controlled others, and he had allowed his personal power to wane in favor of a few decades of hedonism. The attacks against him paused momentarily, but the looks on the counselor's faces promised violence would resume soon.
"I've closed the spatial rifts in this area. There will be no escape via teleportation."
A mage in shimmering black robes spoke softly, but was heard clearly across the vast room. His words made the Archmage's face pale even more.
"Why? Why should we allow you to live when we have been your slaves for years, you pathetic worm? Did you ever afford us the opportunity to escape or allow us to plead our case?"
"You all had it coming!"
The trembling Archmage screeched and stomped on the floor, trying and failing to slit Joe's throat. This prompted no reaction from the mages, which bothered Joe quite a bit.
"You belittled my craft, laughed at those of us who created binding contracts. I was getting my revenge for being treated as a drudge, a useless mongrel. You called me Quill Pusher or the poor man's lawyer."
"So you enslaved us? All of us? I had never met you."
A woman in brown robes yelled up at him.
"It didn't matter. None of you matter. I'm the Archmage. I knew that contract magic was more powerful than any of you could hope to defeat, and I proved it."
The obese man was breathing heavily and sinking to the floor, clutching at his chest as though his heart was giving out.
"The kingdom has been at war. You held us back, refusing to allow us to join in. Thousands have died because of your cowardice and profit-mongering. Our outlying villages have been stolen or destroyed, anyone not in the capital city either dead or enslaved. You may have killed humanity as a whole through your inaction."
"I don't care."
It turned out that the Archmage wasn't having a heart attack. He was pulling a stone that blazed with multicolored light out of a hidden pocket.
"You are all going to die anyway."
The Archmage reared back to throw the stone, but Joe's hand reached out and snagged his flabby arm. Joe snatched away the stone, then swung his scepter into the Archmage's head. The heavy man stumbled back, uncomprehending, as Joe jumped forward, slamming into him and sending him flying into the space that had been recently vacated by the Accords. Screaming, the Archmage was pumped full of the mana that had been accumulated and stored by the tubing. Mana rolled into his body, filling it beyond capacity, beyond comprehension or human limits. Joe landed on the floor and covered his head. The screams seemed to linger and reverberate in the air as the Archmage's body inflated and exploded into gore. Mana-charged flesh vaporized before it had a chance to land on anything, but the concussive wave blasted Joe off the raised platform. He landed heavily with a large portion of his health removed, stunned and disoriented. He looked up to see potentially hostile council members staring down at him, but then Cell pushed through the wall of bodies that had formed around him.
"Joe, you're alive? How? How did you survive all of that and still manage to stop him from attacking us?"
Shaking his head, Joe coughed and healed himself. "Ow.
Dang, that hurt. Remember that ritual we made this morning? It's a ritual named Stasis. Activating it made me unable to move or perform any action, but it also shielded me from everything thrown at me.
How did you get out? When you wanted to move, it just... stopped.
Cell seemed to take his answer at face value, which Joe appreciated.
I built a function into all my rituals that lets me deactivate them at will. I knew it might kill me to block that attack, but I had to stop him. I can always come back. You all wouldn't be able to.
Joe took Cell's hand, getting pulled to his feet by what he now hoped was a friend.
Hand me the stone, boy.
A man in white robes with black arcane characters stitched into it held out his hand. Joe looked over at Cell. Cell nodded in approval.
He's the master of enchantment. Do it.
Joe shrugged and placed the bright stone into the outstretched hand. Peering into the stone, the man began to shiver.
So unstable. How did it even last this long? What a maniac! A grand radiant core with an enchantment created to dissociate itself on impact. That reaction would have obliterated at least half the city.
A couple students listening in fainted. Cell was pale and licked his lips with nervousness.
What do we do with it?
I'm feeding it to the mana engine is what I'm doing with it. Don't get involved in conversations at this level, you milk drinker.
The wizened old man walked over to the exposed glass of what was apparently something called a mana engine and touched the stone to the tubing. The stone stuck there, the light inside it slowly fading.
There! Give it a few minutes, and all the stored power will be converted into a usable form. Might even fix the protections. Ha! With that much power, it better fix the protections.
What do you mean?
A slightly less wrinkled mage asked him. The white-robed man folded his arms behind his back.
That fool of an archmage diverted the power of the mana engine into keeping his precious accords in effect. He left the college defenseless, unprotected from the outside world. That's the real reason he never let anyone but apprentices take missions for the army or kingdom. He needed us here to protect him if we were attacked.
He spat to the side.
I think revenge is completely underrated. Seeing him get vaporized felt amazing.
Joe looked at the remaining mages surrounding him.
I guess the next question is, now what? Now what indeed? You have saved us from a fate that none of us wanted, freeing hundreds of nobles, mages, and travelers even if they didn't know they were slaves. Anything you want of us, we will try to accommodate. At least, I will.
The Master of Fire spoke for the group, and those around him nodded. They seemed a bit wary of making a sweeping promise like that, but seemed to feel a bit guilty about their doubt. After all, they were free now. They could tell him no if he tried for outlandish rewards.
In that case,
Joe thought for a moment, and the mages around him became rather tense as the silence persisted.
I could ask for money or enchantments, but the truth is, I either don't need them or don't know what to ask for. Instead, I'll only ask for a few general terms. One, I'd like training as a mage, but I don't want to be beholden to your group. Stop this rogue mage garbage and let people explore their powers. Next, I'd like to ask that you reduce your fees and open the college to the general public. That is for this next request. As you know, the kingdom is at war. I'd like you to assist them however possible. More mages are needed if we are going to expand the human influence, and what we currently have simply isn't enough to combat the Wolfman Nation.
The mages grandly nodded. These were things they would have gotten around to, but as a personal request from their savior, they would be able to move much faster and avoid some political bargaining on these issues.
Also, I know that the library is desperate to expand their selection. Would you be opposed to donating a copy of your research to them for safekeeping? I am certain they would be willing to place restrictions on who can access the materials. This suggestion was met with a good deal less enthusiasm, but they didn't say no. Finally, Joe's tone made the tension reappear. Master of Fire? Yes? I broke a promise with you. In light of the circumstances, could you please remove my warlock status?
Your reputation with the Mage's College has increased by 8,000 points. Current standing, extended family. Epilogue. When Joe first entered the common area of the guildhouse, a squealing form with vivid blue hair slammed into him in a full-body tackle.
You destroyed the accords. Anyone who had signed them got a notification. I hadn't even known how restricted that made us. How did you figure it out? Did you know that there are now 12 new classes we can specialize as? 12? And that's only what we know about. I'm going to learn to enchant. I got accepted right away when I told them I knew you and was part of your guild. All of us even get a discount.
Tara? Joe's mind finally caught up to the flood of words that was entering his ears. Her mouth was like a reverse black hole. Instead of absorbing things, she constantly spewed noise. Wait, everyone knows it was me?
There was a server-wide announcement. Have you not looked at your notifications?
Tara grinned at him, but it turned into a pout after a moment.
You didn't yet, did you? Gah, you are famous. You must have gained, like, a bazillion fame points from this. Look at your notifications. Do it now.
Tara's excited chatter had drawn most of the room's inhabitants to them, and they seemed to agree with her. Aten walked into the area, and upon seeing Joe, looked like he was about to kiss him.
Joe! I can't believe it! We are now the top guild, and—
Quiet down,
Tara coolly interrupted him.
Joe hasn't looked over his notifications. Don't spoil the surprise.
Now, with a pained look on his face, Aten sat down, muttering darkly.
I'm gonna get voted out at this rate. Maybe he'll let me be an officer at least.
With all the expectant eyes on him, Joe awkwardly opened his overburdened notification screen.
Server-wide announcement. Rejoice. The Mage's College has been freed from the tyrannical slavery of the Archmage by player Joe of the Guild, the Wanderers. With the defeat of the Archmage, new goods, such as mana potions, are available for sale at various shops. The cost of being trained in mage-based skills has been reduced by 60%, and 12 new mage-based classes are available for specialization at the Mage's College. The Guild, the Wanderers, has maxed out their reputation with the Kingdom of Ardania for as long as Joe remains a member. Their guild tax to the Kingdom has been reduced by 75%. Be warned. Oppose them, and you oppose the crown. Hidden quest. Legendary. Completed. Unshackling magic. You completed a quest that no one knew was a quest by destroying a contract that could not be destroyed. Not only did you defeat the Archmage, but you did not allow any other mages to perish. By completing seemingly impossible requirements and saving those that should not have survived, the rating of this quest increased from epic to legendary difficulty. Rewards have increased, but you will not be able to loot the Mage's College without breaking the law. Rewards. Experience, 20,000, 100 platinum coins. Prices for skills and class training at the college are further reduced for you and players on your friend list by 30%. Reputation with the college is locked at maximum unless you commit a high crime against them. As you completed this quest alone and the college is joining the war, you will gain 5% of all contribution points earned by the college for the war effort. This will impact your quest, Shatter a People. The ranking of your deity has increased. He has moved from unknown to pretty much unknown. Rare knowledge, items, and locations will be 5% easier for all players to discover for 2 weeks. Quest complete. Earn a god's favor. You have found enough hidden knowledge or completed enough hidden quests to earn the favor of a deity. Reward. You have unlocked your first specialization. Reach level 10 and go to a shrine dedicated to Tatum in order to see details. Reputation increase with hidden god Tatum, 2000. Current status, friendly. Title gained, the chosen of Tatum. You are the chosen of a deity and have his blessing. When your class would show as cleric, it will now show as arc-cleric. You have gained access to a new spell. Spell gained. Resurrection, Novice 1. This is a spell granted only to the champion of a deity, and only one follower may have this spell at a time. Increase your skill with this spell to increase its effects. Effect. Restore a fallen person to life with 24 plus 1 N% health, mana, and stamina, and return 19 plus 1 N% of lost experience where N equals skill level. Can be used once every 24 hours. Target must be the same level or lower than the caster. Target must be resurrected within 1 hour of death. Cannot be used on self. Title gained. Anti-Mage. You have killed the highest ranked mage in the kingdom. By doing so, you have proven that you have what it takes to kill any of them. Plus 10% spell resist, plus 50% intimidation bonus against mage-based classes. Title gained. Immovable object. You have withstood spells that could shatter buildings and weapons that can pierce steel. You did so stoically, without flinching, dodging, or dying. Plus 80% knockback resistance, constitution plus 2, strength plus 1. Title removed. You have lost the title terms and conditions due to using the benefit of the title. Title removed. Warlock. You have lost the title Warlock. Charisma and shop prices have been reset. Caution. You have at least 5 of 10 title slots filled. You can choose to replace one if needed, but be warned. Gaining a mandatory negative title while all the title slots are full will delete one other non-mandatory title at random. Example. Warlock. Joe gasped as all of the effects slammed into him at the same time. Not only did he move to level 9 instantly, but he passed the 10-point threshold in strength as well. His bones shifted painfully as his muscles thickened and became more supportive. Standing suddenly didn't feel like a chore, and he felt like he could carry an entire backpack filled with wolf meat. He took a deep breath, his chest pulling air into his lungs without the strain that used to cause him to cough. Joe felt human again. After getting to this new level, Joe had also gained 5 characteristic points to spend, so he quickly placed 3 into intelligence and 2 into wisdom. Closing all the screens, he looked around at the group that was waiting for him with strange smiles. Thinking of the notifications they would have seen, he whooped for joy. "This is amazing! Max reputation with Ardania and 75% less tax?" This caused a few people to cheer, especially A-10, who was clapping and whistling into an otherwise mostly quiet room. Tara snickered and looked at Joe out of the corner of her eye.
"No, yeah, we're excited. Gotta say, whatever you just did that made all your skin slide around was a little freaky. Looked like you had worms crawling through you."
"Oh, no. Gross. Now I need a shower." Joe shook a bit theatrically. "I just got to 10 strength and broke through a threshold." A few people sighed and seemed less disgusted. A-10 noticed that people were starting to disperse now that the fun was over and quickly whistled to get their attention.
"With the prices and new classes available at the college, we will be sponsoring anyone who wants to get a class change. Right now, we only have 2 magic users, and we need to beef those numbers up. Those are rookie numbers. Right now, anyone who changes class is guaranteed a spot in one of the top 20 squads. I know most of you aren't specced for it, having put points into mostly physical stats, so don't worry about us holding it against you if you want to keep your current class."
Only a small amount of people were interested in the class change, and most of them were very low level. A-10 had them move to another room, leaving Joe to catch his breath and relax a bit. He wanted a nap, but he needed to take a moment and rethink his plans at this point.
Now that new mage skills were available to him, he needed to get some training and become more powerful. Not to mention, now that he had max standing with the college, it was likely that he could find books and manuals on ritual magic that had been banned by the recently deceased Archmage. Speaking of ritual magic, Joe checked his stat sheet and noticed that he had 16 unused skill points. For a long moment,